typical. So just fucking listen to me. Listen to my fucking ranting. This is mean. Get it? You get it now?
Just fucking smile.
It's Friday, June 23rd, 2017. Coming up on the program today, secretly recording Psycho Ex-Girlfriends. Plus, my mom's been in the hospital all week. Did she live through it? Find out today. Bill Cosby's planning on giving rape seminars. And the Dead Toe returns. All coming up today.
It's the Distorted View Show with Tim Henson.
You low-life piece of trash. You son of a Kansas slut.
Yes, Tim Henson. Ending the week with the Friday show, hey freaks. How about the sideshow exclusive week of just killer content? It's been a long time since I've done a show. I forgot how to talk. Let me first apologize. This was not my intention when I was plugging the sideshow all last week, urging everyone to sign up and become members because we're going to be doing a full week of sideshow exclusive content. Then my mom got sick. I got the call on whenever it was, Sunday. I recorded the show on Monday, and then I immediately went up to Ashtabula, where my mom was not. She had left Ashtabula. She was actually transferred to a different hospital an hour away. So originally, I think I told you guys that she had gallstones. That was true. But what happened was, and, you know, Ashtabula can handle that. It's just crushing stones or whatever, you're flushing them out of your system, whatever, however they handle gallstones, right? Ashtabula was prepared to handle that. What they weren't prepared to handle was my mom's erratic heartbeat. She started suffering from what I had. You know, her heart rate became elevated, not as fast as mine. I'm still the winner there, 200 beats a minute. But, yeah, her heart rate was elevated, and they were able to get it down, but they're like, we don't want to operate on her. We don't feel comfortable, so we're moving her to a hospital in Cleveland. All right. I will tell you one funny thing that happened when we were at this hospital. She was getting prepared. This other hospital did remove the gallstones or pushed them through whatever they needed to go through. As they were preparing for it wasn't even really a surgery, but, you know, the scope thing that pushes it out. They brought her down to this room to prep her, and when I say we, I mean my brother and my sister and I, were able to go down and visit my mom before she was put under. Well, it just so happens the woman who was in the bay, because when they're prepping her, they're in like these, it's not even a full room, right? It's just like this little, like, room with a bunch of dividers, right? And so my mom was in like a bay, and then the woman that was in next to her sounded exactly like the Dalek woman.
Do you like fish, children? Fish?
But it wasn't just a soundbite. It was like a constant, it was a conversation with nurses and people. And I'm hearing this, and I can't help myself. I'm trying not to laugh, and that's just causing tears to start streaming down my face. And when I start laughing, my sister knew exactly what was happening, because I laugh at inappropriate things, you know. And I'm like, oh my god. And my sister's like, don't do it, Tim, because when would you start? I can't, you know, I'm gonna start. And then my sister starts laughing. She doesn't even know the reference to the Dalek woman, the fresh catfish. Nothing, but she thought the voice was funny too, and what she was really laughing at was me trying not to laugh at this woman.
Do you like fresh catfish?
Exactly, right? So, you know, we had just stopped laughing. We're wiping the tears out of our eyes. That's when the doctor who would be performing the operation or whatever walked by and saw what looked like a family in crisis or something. He's like, why are you all crying? So he came by and he thought that we were really upset about this procedure when really we were just making fun of an old woman who talked funny. But he was so nice, and he was Jewish, one of the good ones, right? And he took out a pen and paper and he actually sketched out. He was like, let me explain what we're doing. You know, I mean, fucking gallstones. This is a relatively routine procedure, right? All right, whatever. So, but he thought that we were just really upset about the whole thing, and he explained in great detail what they were going to do. And, you know, doctors, they're all, you know, they're very matter-of-fact with numbers and the risk. They're like, oh, 99% of the people that go through this have no problem. 1% might die. You know, that's all my mom had to hear. That's when my mom started actually crying. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, is she laughing at the Dalek woman? No, the doctor just scared her. She's like, I didn't know it was that involved. There's so much that can go wrong. And I'm like, Mom.
Do you like fresh catfish?
She did not catch that reference. No one was laughing at the Dalek woman for the right reasons. Anyway, the procedure went fine. She was convinced she was going to die. But the procedure went fine. Then, the next day, when I was planning on coming home, you know, because it was just gallstones. I call my mom in the morning, and she's like, hi, Tim. Like, all sad. And I'm like, hey, Mom, how's it going? I don't know what's going on. It doesn't look good, though. Now, when you say something, like, as a hospital patient, you have a responsibility to those who visit you. And that's not to scare them like that. When you say it doesn't look good, that means, you know, people on their deathbed say that shit. I figured, oh, God, she's like walking stage 4 cancer. Like, her whole body, she's got toe cancer and hair cancer. From the bottom to the top, just cancerfied. They found something. And I'm like, Mom, what do you mean? What do you mean it doesn't look good? I don't know. I'll talk to you when you get here. The nurses are here. Bye. And that was it. So that's what I had to think about while I was driving up that day. Because I was in Ashtabula, staying at my mom's place. She was an hour away from Ashtabula. So every day, I'd have to, you know, drive an hour and an hour back. Oh, it was such a burden, right? Everyone pity me. Meanwhile, my mom's on her deathbed. I like to make these stories about me. That's why we're all here, right? I'm who you care about. So I get there, and she has a slightly enlarged spleen. The issue is that we have a bunch of doctors going on here. We now have a cardiologist because, you know, remember she had that elevated heart rate a couple times, and they have her on medicine, the same medicine I'm on. Oh, like mother, like son, which is fine. Then we have the enlarged spleen issue, which could be a variety of things, from not scary at all to kind of scary, right? You got, like, it could be nothing. She could have been born with an enlarged spleen. Like, this is how common enlarged spleens are. People are born with it. They don't even notice it. It could be due to infection, a viral infection, a bacterial infection, a parasitic infection, you know, all that stuff. They wanted to make sure that her spleen wasn't getting any larger. And then, so we had a bunch of doctors. We had a spleen doctor. Oh, also, like, a, you know, testing her blood. Her blood work came back fine. Whatever. So it was just like, all the doctors had to get on the same page before they could release my mom, and that's kind of what we were waiting for and trying to figure out what was wrong with her spleen. We still don't really know, but she has to go back in a month or two. But she's finally home and resting, and she's much happier now. Oh, she was in a foul mood. Because, you know, she wasn't allowed to eat solid foods up until the very last day she was there. So Saturday, no solid. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Now it's Friday. Thursday, I think she was able to eat solid food for the first time. So she's much happier now. I'm just, you know, glad she's doing okay, obviously. And thank you to everyone who wrote messages on Facebook or Twitter or email wishing my mom well. It was very nice of you guys. All right, I do have a couple short pieces of audio, then we'll do some news stories, call it a day. Oh, the plan. The plan is that I am not going to have a weekend this week. I will be producing content tomorrow. The plan is to do a show both on Saturday and Sunday to sort of kind of make up for, you know, the week that wasn't. And as we get into next week, I'm planning on doing some extra Sideshow exclusive programs. So I'm sure the Freeside people will be really ecstatic about that. Instead of just Tuesday and Thursday show being Sideshow exclusive, we might be doing Wednesday's show as a Sideshow exclusive as well. Try to throw in some mini programs there. Give you guys some bonus material, some extra stuff. All right, this was a great clip I found on, I think someone posted this on Reddit, and it looks like this is a few years old, but I know we've never played it on the show, but this is right up our alley. I love to hear couples fighting. So this kid is recording his friend and his friend's girlfriend go at it.
My friend and his girlfriend are fighting. This happens all the time. Just listen.
You go out last night. You don't even like take care of me. Not only financially, but like.
This is one thing that I don't think I'll ever have to deal with. Gays don't fight like this. Gays, first of all, are more vicious. But they, you know, you don't typically hear gay people. You don't take care of me, financially or otherwise. Unless you're like dealing with a sugar daddy situation.
Like emotionally and like a husband takes care of a wife.
They're just dating, by the way. They're not married.
She's crazy.
You don't even do any of that. No, get your ass over here. No.
Yeah, it's just ramping up, freaks.
Excuse me?
She's hitting him right now. Kicking him.
Oh, yeah. She gets physical, which women are allowed to do, but men can't. Sexist! When will men be able to shatter the glass jaw of a bitch's mouth?
Can't hear it.
All right! I don't want you months ago! You're a piece of shit! No.
That, I mean, that's all that you can really make out. Yeah! Piece of shit!
What are you gonna do to fix the situation? The job is not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about how you treat me and how you act. You're a fucking jerk!
So she wants to know how he's going to fix the situation. Meanwhile, you don't hear a peep out of him. This whole time, it's just been her. You know who this young girl turned out to be? The angry mom who wanted her son's car keys so she could get to work.
Why are you doing this shit?
All I said was ask me.
No, you're not fucking me up, Galen.
I said
give me your fucking
nicely.
Card so I can use it. For
ask
that.
Me nicely.
No!
Why can't you ask me nicely?
Stick it up your fucking ass! Why asked you nicely 10 minutes ago now to get real mad! But I'm not gonna all fucking tear this room apart and fucking fight it. You'll be one sorry kid. I don't have time! I want to get back to work! You know that 1 second!
Probably my top... My favorite freak-out clip we've ever played on DV. She's worse than Brandon's mom. This is we're back to the girlfriend now.
No! You're not going anywhere!
You're not fucking me up, Caitlin!
You're a
jerk! You need to get to work! I don't know what that is. That might have been English. She actually comes out in a few minutes.
I'm about glasses.
So now we got the kid who's recording this and the friend. You know, the one that has the crazy girlfriend. They're both sitting in front of the computer, and then the girlfriend's going to storm out here. Now, the guy is using a broom to help himself walk because he was just wailed on by his girlfriend. Here she comes. Uh-oh. Here comes Godzilla. You have angered the beast.
Bye.
Now, this is the worst thing a guy can do. When a girl is mad, she's like, I'm leaving! Bye! And then the boyfriend just goes very calmly, bye. You gotta match her level of crazy, at least. That's what she wants, right? He's all calm and aloof. Okay, see you later, bye. That's just gonna, make her up more upset.
That's it. After everything, that's it. After everything, that's it. What the hell is wrong with you?
Betsy.
What the fuck is wrong with you? That's it. Oh, bye. Nice knowing you.
Hey.
What is wrong with you?
Now.
What the hell is wrong? Put down the fucking broom. Waste a fucking baby.
She doesn't get the, broomstick anymore.
The broom to walk.
Nothing's
wrong with me.
That's it!
Yes,
bye!
Why are you flipping?
Thanks, so I could use you when I could! Get him off your ass!
I can't, give me the broom.
I mean, he's kind of a jerk, you know, I mean, like, I can't, I need the broom. He could get up if he wanted to.
I need the broom to go.
So she takes the broom and shakes it with her.
Huh?
What?
This is where she hears him say something, under his breath.
What'd you say?
I said, Chihuahua will drive that car.
Call my phone.
I don't have my phone.
Get out your fucking phone! Really? You don't have it?
She keeps... Yeah, she was slapping his leg, but it turns out it's his wallet.
Hey! I really don't have it.
Edgar!
Look, you see
that? Stop!
She shows him the wallet.
That's my wallet.
Then where's your fucking phone?
It's charging.
I'll go get it.
Okay. She wants to see if he's been texting some...
I left my phone in here with you today. I'm about to stomp on your phone if you don't tell me. Oh, and really, Edgar? Yeah, you're real smart. Betsy's inside looking for you. You can't hide forever. Where the fuck were you?
Where what?
Where the fuck were you?
Off the park.
No! You're like, is Betsy inside?
Oh, that was earlier.
Well, there goes your phone, dude.
Okay, man. Oh, no.
Where's my phone?
Huh. Honey, can you stop?
Where's my phone?
Honey.
Give me the phone.
I don't have
it. I'll call the cops over here. Give me the
phone. You have no phone.
She's hitting him again.
Give me the phone.
I'm sorry.
Like, don't laugh either while she's hitting you.
In your room.
Well, why are you laughing?
Cause you're ridiculous right now.
Where's the phone?
You pretend like you're like, I can't even, I have a broken leg.
I don't care. I don't give a shit. I wish they'd tear your leg off.
Like,
as well as your ugly face.
Update, this couple is no longer together. So Betsy is available, freaks. The other clip I wanted to share with you real quick is a rap battle. Now, these two gentlemen apparently know each other and know each other's situation. One of the guys has actually cheated on his girlfriend, and I guess beforehand they agreed not to rap about that, but things got, you know, it's one of those rap battles where they're insulting each other, right? Let's see how that all plays out. I mean, you can't give someone that type of ammo and tell them not to use it.
And that's my point about progression summed up in this next line, is that your name didn't even look out of place next to mine.
That's the end of one of the rap. Pretty weak in my opinion. How about like this? Hey, man, you're an ass. You can't even catch a bass. I'm very white.
Conclusion! Fuck off! It's a birthday. It's a birthday. Let's start drinking. And another 4 years of don't flop will make that 2-0 to England. Let's fucking go.
Okay. Here we go.
Y'all ready? Sorry, kiddo. Last night there was an incident. Somebody decided to tell Jeff my rhymes. I've seen a lot of things in this battle game, but I've never had anybody beg for mercy ahead of time. When he caught wind of what I did, he got so fucking upset, he even told Mickey if I went through with this round, he wouldn't show up to the event.
Oh, so I guess the guy found out beforehand that he was going to talk about him cheating?
We had a conversation. There were some compromises made, and honestly, not a lot was changed, because all I told you was that I'd probably drop the names. But you know what we agreed to, but there were no fucking promises made. And you may have talked to Daniel Stefani yesterday, but you're talking to fucking Caustic today. I said it's Caustic, homie. I'm known to body rappers. I break a motherfucker down. I'm starting to offer classes. You're the exact motherfucker I hate. Acting like a cocky bastard, then go home to your fat fiance Carly after you just got done opening condom wrappers with that
fucking bitch Holly Masters.
Wow, first of all, calling his current girlfriend a fat bitch, and then letting everyone know that he cheated on her. You know who the real loser is? This guy's girlfriend.
I kept my word, right? Oh, this shit just got incredibly real. Luckily for me, I don't fucking care how you feel. Why should I change my verses? You're the one who's gotta carry the guilt. So with that said, let's talk about that
girl, Sarah McGill.
You mad?
No.
You mad? Oh, cry. That's a cry face.
Yes!
Yo. What, you think you the man, Jeff? Fucking sluts is not impressive, especially when it's verb T and Joker star sloppy seconds.
I did notice he tried to rhyme seconds with impressives, which doesn't quite work. Impressives isn't really a word, and it doesn't quite rhyme, but okay. Impressives.
That shit is fucking disgusting. You probably got infected and thought, hey, now's as good a time as any to go home and pop the question. Yo, how you gonna marry a fat girl that you ashamed of, obviously? Fuck getting engaged. Wow. You need to fucking engage in some honesty.
I think this guy's the clear winner.
I mean, I'm not hating on relationships. They say the best things in life are free. But what'd you get it for your anniversary, homie? Fucking HIV.
He's good.
He's scared of his baby mama because she's elephant size. So he fucks random strippers. He's a hell of a guy. So ladies, next time you get approached by Jefferson Price, why don't you tell him to go home and try fucking on his heavy set wife? I don't even get how you sleep at the end of the night. I honestly hope every last sperm inside your testicles dies. So stop running around England like you're some sexual prize and deal with the fact that you're gonna sleep next to that fat bitch for the rest of your life.
Wow, nice work, Caustic. At first I was gonna make fun of him for, you know, for the shitty name and all. But, yeah, he brought the rhymes, that's for sure. I could get into that rap battle stuff. All right, and with that, let's get into the crazy bizarre twist of the fucked up news right now. Thank you guys so much for sticking with me, being sideshow members. We'll get back on track here, I promise. I feel like my mom should call in, you know, for putting us all through this. My mom should call in and do a Craigslist ad. As soon as she's feeling a little bit better, I'll make her do that. All right, three very quick stories, then we'll get the hell out of here. I cannot believe this new story. So Bill Cosby, who was up on, I don't know, rape charges or what, like 50, was it 50 women, 70 women have come forward and said that Bill Cosby drugged them and then took advantage of them sexually, right? So finally, one woman was able to press charges. I guess the statute of limitations wasn't up in her case or something. But the jury couldn't come up with a unanimous decision. It was what they call a hung jury. And basically, Bill Cosby was set free. That's not the story I want to read, though. The story I want to read is, like, Bill Cosby's doing a bit of a victory lap right now. He's feeling pretty good. You could tell he was starting to feel good when the jury was deliberating and he came out of the courtroom doing Fat Albert. Hey, hey, hey. I think we played that on Monday's show, right? Well, now he's like, you know what? I'm going to get back out there in front of the public because what I need more than anything is an audience. So he's going to be doing a bunch of town hall meetings, I guess, where the public is invited for a little chat, right? And he's going to talk all about sexual assault. I thought that was weird and a little insensitive, but then I thought, well, this is probably his way of getting back in good with America. You know, like, oh, he's going to talk about sexual assault, educate people. I mean, who knows sexual assault better than Bill Cosby? I thought maybe he'd have, like, experts on, talking about sexual assault, kind of like teaching Cosby things, and then America would be like, well, he's putting in the effort to change. I guess we can give him another chance. That, however, is not what the town halls are going to be about. The town halls are pretty much like for sex offenders. Like, what do you do when someone accuses you of sexually assaulting them? How do you beat those charges? That is what the town hall is all about. Less than a week after a judge declared a mistrial in the sexual assault case against Bill Cosby, the comedian's representatives say he intends to host a series of town halls about sexual assault and the legal system. Cosby spokesman Andrew Wyatt said that the town halls could start as soon as next month and noted that the issues were particularly important for young athletes. Who are known for raping and sexual assault. The proposed talks drew immediate criticism from organizations that work with survivors of sexual assault. Wyatt said young people need to know what they're facing when they're hanging out and partying. Ebony Benson, who has acted as a spokesman for Cosby's wife Camille, also appeared on the program and said part of the idea for the town hall is to discuss changing laws. The statute of limitations for victims of sexual assault are being extended, so this is why people need to be educated on a brush against a shoulder. Anything at this point can be considered sexual assault, and it's a good thing to be educated about the laws. Critics have said that it appears Cosby is attempting to train men how to avoid legal trouble after they perpetrate sexual assault. Thank you for purchasing Sexual Dynamite, Defusing a Bitch's Claim of Sexual Assault, Volume 1. Ah, another glorious day in America. The birds are chirping. The sun is shining. Gladys next door is watering her petunias. Hi, Gladys. Is it just me, or is Gladys looking really good? Maybe it's a new shampoo. Or maybe a new outfit. Why would she be wearing a new outfit while watering her petunias? That doesn't make sense. You drive past her every day. I betcha she did this for you. That can be the only possible explanation. She's horny for you, and she's asking for it. She'd never admit it out loud, of course, because, as we know, women can yammer on and on and on and never really get to the fucking point. No, you're gonna have to help her get the courage to scream her love for you off the rooftop. That's where roofies get their name. Sadly, things don't go according to plan. And like many opportunistic bitches, Gladys has filed sexual assault charges on you. Fear not, friend. It's not all doom and gloom. You just have to follow the 7 D's of sexual assault. What are the 7 D's? An awesome decade where you could totally get away with drugging broads and fucking them unconscious. Not 7 D's. 7 D's. Oh, the thing I was just starting to tell you about. After you, let's say, misread the room and slipper your unwanted D, it's important to remember the 7 D's of sexual assault. Deny.
What? That's not the way I remember it happening.
Good, good. Demean.
I remember her telling me that I could try to have sex with her, but she probably wouldn't feel a thing on account of her being so loose and having all that scar tissue from previous STDs.
Oh, you're a natural at this. Next, distance yourself from any kind of sexuality.
I'm a happily married man and my wife fulfills all of my needs. Also, I'm on medication that lowers my libido.
The next D is decontainment. Scrub that dick clean. You want no traces of her pussy on you.
I ate her out.
Well, scrub your face too and shave your mustache. Pussy juice lingers. Next, disguise your dick. Make it impossible for her to pick out your penis in a lineup. If you're uncircumcised, consider getting snipped. If you don't have a mole on your shaft, consider a mole implant.
I use silicone injections to fatten my dong up. And I gave my penis head a top hat and a monocle. It looks sophisticated.
If she can't accurately describe what your penis looks like, who's to say it was even you fucking her?
My dick looks like an old British man.
The 6th D is get rid of your drugs. Having roofies lying around is pretty incriminating.
I can hold on to the MDMA though, right? That shit's expensive.
And the final D is
the good lawyers. You're going to want really good lawyers. With those 7Ds in your arsenal, you have the power to beat the system. Good luck and good raping. That would totally be my sign off if I ever get to do like the nightly news. Walter Cronkite had, and that's the way it is. There's been others, and so it goes. Mine's going to be good night and good raping. It's like I'm tucking America into bed. Just the rapist, though. I speak directly to sex offenders. Cosby may face another trial over accusations that he drug and molested Temple University employee Andrea Constant at his home near Philadelphia in 2004. So be on the lookout for that. Second story we have for you today. Remember years ago on this very podcast, I talked about a bar that would serve a drink, and in the drink was a toe, a human toe. I don't know how health inspectors ever give this bar a pass, but yeah, there's this bar, you could order a special drink, and it had a old human toe in it. Well, someone made off with the toe. Of course, I'm surprised this hasn't happened sooner as well. A thief who made off with a human toe used a notorious cocktail served by a Dawson City bar. Oh, this is like in Canada, way up north, in the middle of nowhere. No wonder they can get away with serving human fucking toes. It's practically lawless up there, and there are very few humans. This drink is ordered mostly by moose. Alright, so yes, a thief who made off with a human toe used in a notorious cocktail served by a Dawson City bar has mailed the toe back to its owner. Staff at the downtown hotel reported the theft last Sunday, saying someone made off with one of the bar's mummified toes. Apparently they have more than one. The bar, located in a small community more than 6 hours north of Whitehorse, uses the toes in a drink they call a sour toe cocktail. Yes, I remember that name, sour toe cocktail. The bar apparently has some backup toes. This one was donated recently by a man who had the toe surgically removed. We're very, very, very happy to have it back, said hotel manager Jerry Colburn. The local RCMP detachment got a call on Tuesday from the man suspected of taking the toe, saying that he put the pilfered digit in the mail. Colburn received the express mail package on Thursday and says the toe was, crucially, packed in a bag of salt. That was really nice because it can't remain out of the salt for a very long time. It looked like it was in really good shape, you know, for a decomposing toe. I'm looking at the missing toe. It doesn't look like a toe at all. It doesn't look in good shape at all. The package also contained a letter of apology, which Colburn read to the CBC News. Quote, I'm deeply sorry. I was way too drunk and I lost my mind celebrating a special Yukon date. I returned it as fast as possible and not damaged. Sincerely, a drunken fool. Colburn thinks that the international attention, oh yeah, newspapers are writing all about this missing human toe, tugged at the thief's heartstrings. He realized what he had done was a major blow to the community. Their whole economy is based around decomposing toes. Sour toe cocktail. I think he felt compelled to send it back. The toe was marched back into the bar on Thursday night to a chorus of cheers. It's not back in rotation just yet. I want Terry Lee, our toe master, to check it over and make sure everything's okay before we start using it again, Colburn said. Finally today, freaks, a man has been stabbed over SpongeBob SquarePants. The story comes from Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. A PA man has been convicted of third-degree murder after a confrontation that a witness said was sparked by a comparison to SpongeBob SquarePants. Oh, the man was insulted that someone said, hey, you look like SpongeBob. Prosecutors say 39-year-old Robert Esley, not to be confused with Robert Ely, stabbed Jamal Britton in July of 2016 at a Lewisburg apartment complex. A witness to the crime, Keisha Jacobs, told the jury that Britton, who is also the father of her son, was angry after Lee told him he looked like the cartoon Sponge. Lee acknowledged swinging a knife at Britton, but said he was unsure if he struck him. He said he was afraid that the angry, advancing Britton might have a gun. Lee drove away and threw his knife into a river. Britton walked to a nearby playground and was eventually taken to a hospital. I wonder if any of the kids at the playground were like, "Hey, SpongeBob's here! Let's play!" Yeah, so Britton walked to a nearby playground and was eventually taken to a hospital. Oh, where he died. Whoops. Almost left out that small detail. Yeah, he died. I guess in the first line it said that he was convicted of murder, so you knew something bad was coming. Lee was convicted Wednesday. He remains in jail pending sentencing. There you go. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Friday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, first up, some patron calls.
Hey, Tim, this is Vladimir Putin. And, you know, like, I'm getting all kinds of shit. I've been doxxed by a lot of your callers now because they don't like me calling in. You know, and I have enough fucking trouble on my hands with Al-Assad in Syria, babysitting Trump. So,
like, he gave up the accent.
You know, what can I do to get you guys to back off, man? Chigru.
Maybe masturbate with Origel? I don't know. I'll leave it up to the freaks.
Hey, Boo. It's Sideshow Freaking Patreon Patron Al Joseph calling. I was just listening to your Monday Sideshow exclusive show when you were talking about how your mom is in the hospital. She's not doing great. And I just want to say I'm sure I speak for pretty much all the freaks, except for a couple of assholes.
Yeah, there's but always a couple of assholes.
I hope everything...
Who are like, just die already so Tim can get back to doing the show.
Turns out well, and your mom gets better, and that's it.
Yeah, it took a little while, but I think, you know, knock on wood, she's going to be okay.
Hey, Tim, Haley's Comet calling up. I just wanted to give you a heads-off about something involving gallstones that you may encounter.
Oh, let's see if he mentioned spleen.
if the gallstones are bad enough, the doctors may recommend removing your mother's gallbladder.
That's exactly what they're recommending. They didn't want to do it right away. They wanted to take care of the stones. They're afraid that the stones will come back, so they want to remove her gallbladder.
And that's a fairly routine surgery by now.
Well, don't tell, you know, we tried to tell my mom that, but she bursted into tears.
I know a number of people who've had their gallbladders out. None of them have ever said they wish they kept them.
Hey, Haley's comment, since you know a lot of shit, what the fuck does... Like, if we don't need the gallbladder, what does it do? Thank you. I guess I could look this up myself, but I'll ask you, because you know everything. Also, does my mom need her spleen? Can that also be removed? Thank you.
All of them have said they were glad to have done it. You do need to make some dietary changes, because what you can eat changes a bit.
You have to be careful with the fats, greasy food.
Right.
Oh, are we losing him?
If it comes to that, it is a fairly routine surgery. And
I think Haley's comment is voluntary. He's like, I will take out your mom's gallbladder. I know how to do it. I know everything. I am Haley's comment. Well, thank you very much for the information. We'll see what happens on that front. And here's another caller. Yes.
Hey, Tim, long-time listener here. Just to give you an idea of how long I've been listening, I started when I was probably in the seventh grade, and I just graduated from college a few weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
So I was listening to a show that I think was on June 1st. A Canadian guy called in, and he said something about Avril Lavigne. Mm. Well, there was a sex offender who came onto my college campus in the last 2 weeks of my college education, and he renamed himself Avril Lavigne. This was in Salem, Oregon.
Okay.
So I don't know if that was the story you guys were talking about, but I went to that school. He came on campus and was trying to film people and like get in the gym and stuff like that. It was pretty weird.
He's just a skater boy.
Yeah, just
keep up the good
work.
Boys.
Love ya. Bye.
All right. Well, thank you. I don't know. Did we read that story on the show? That sounds like something we we would feature on the program. That is all the time we have on this edition of the show. I want you guys to email me, show at distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-66. Oh, God, is it? Oh, God.
Deal with the fact that you're going to sleep next to that fat bitch for the rest of your life.
Spread the distortion STD to all your friends about the podcast. Don't forget to rate us and review us on iTunes or Podcast Alley, whatever. Is that website still around? I will be back this weekend for more DV. Be on the lookout for that. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Hello, my treacherous friend. Thank you for joining me here tonight. I brought you all here to discuss as I must. future is free.